for those who haven't heard before, in 1983-84, Sue and I, we met in Vancouver at Bible College. It was 84-85, I've just been corrected. So, I went from Stroud, Sue went from Basingstoke. We had to go all that way just to meet. And as part of our course and all the theology and all the teaching and the great Bible stuff, one of our Bible teachers would say to us, you have to memorize Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20, which I know will trip off the tongue for all of you. And it basically says this, it says, wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public squares. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public squares. And his premise was that wherever you go, whatever you're looking at, whatever you're seeing, you can find, if you look, the wisdom of God. And he would encourage us to go to the cinema and to take a notebook with us, and a small light, so we could make notes as we watched the film and see what God was saying to us as a student body. There were some films that was a lot easier than others, but I've had this in the back of my head ever since. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I'm aware that God can speak. And this particular television program has been niggling at the back of my head for a very, very long time in terms of wisdom crying aloud in the street. Can I just have a quick show of hands? How many people have seen this program and know what I'm talking about? That's a good number. That gives me hope. Good. So the repair shop was first shown on the 27th of March, 2017. It was a program that was tucked away in the schedules of BBC Two, scheduled for only one series. It has now run for 15 series, has aired 372 episodes, and is prime time, even featuring the King himself. And for those of you who still don't know what I'm talking about, hopefully this might help explain a little bit.
Welcome to the repair shop, where much loved but broken treasures.
This is amazing. It is absolutely brilliant.
Are brought back to life.
Welcome to my universe. It's pretty marvellous.
Furniture restorer Jay Blades.
It's so nice that we can be part of that kind of history to just keep things going.
And a dream team of some of the country's most skilled craftspeople.
I'm having a lot of fun, and I'm really liking the end result.
Sounds like teamwork.
Bring their talents to bear on beloved pieces of family history.
Look at that.
I'm liking what I see.
Yes.
This work.
Your beauty.
Utilising expertise passed down the generations.
I'm going to teach you how to do with your fashion.
All right.
Transforming priceless pieces of family history.
Oh, my goodness me.
The repair shop team will resurrect the items.
Oh, gosh.
The memories.
I'm going to have to hug you.
And the stories behind them.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Can't see it because of tears in my eyes.
This is a very emotional job to do, but incredibly worthwhile.
So there we have it, and it's summed up in that one line. So they resurrect the items, the memories, and the stories behind them. It always starts with someone comes into the barn and they approach the bench and they unpack whatever it is they've brought in. And there will be questions. It's like, what have you got for us? Because clearly what they carry is really important. It wouldn't be there otherwise. They wouldn't have got through the research stage if they didn't have something of significance. But it's of significance to them, not necessarily to anyone else. And so the team was saying, so tell us about this item. And so it belonged to your great-grandmother, grandmother or mother, whoever. What was her name? Tell us about them. You see, it's personal. And I always think, when the minute they tell us something, I think about God who calls us by name. When God interacts with us, it's personal. The stories may not be important to anyone else, but they're important to us and they're important to him. And so the God who calls us has plans for us. This series started because a couple of the presenters became increasingly aware that we live in a throwaway society where people, instead of repairing, throw it away and buy a new one. And do you know what happens? What happens to our possessions also happens to the way that we treat people. And people become disposable. Yeah, well, you were my friend last week, but you've upset me, so I'll go get new friends. And there's no investment. Well, let's turn back to God. And what does God say? Well, in Psalm 139 and verses 13 to 16, it says this. He says, you, this is the psalmist talking to God, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was even born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. That's what God did for us. He created us in the first place. He put us together. He formed us. You can go on and read much more in that Psalm 139 about the way that God works. But I just want you to know right at the beginning that you, whoever you are, however you've ended up here, whatever you're going through, whatever you're thinking right now, you were made brilliantly by the God who loves you and cares for you just as you are. You see, when they bring in their items to the repair shop, one of the questions they say is, well, what do you want me to do for it? And sometimes it's obvious. It might be a record player that no longer works. It might be a radio that doesn't work. It might be a precious vase or figurine that's been smashed. It might be an oil painting that's been damaged. It doesn't matter what it is. It's come in because it needs repair. But invariably, they will say, but when you put it together, can you leave some of the dings? Can you leave some of the scratches? Can you leave some of those marks? Because that's what points me back to the person who owned it. That's what points me, that's what makes it so special to me. And I think sometimes we come to God and we're aware we've got battle scars. We've got dings ourselves. But they show the journey we've been on. We show that God has been faithful to us all the way through our journey. In fact, some of these things that we might have thought of in the past as, oh, that's a sign of hurt, actually is a sign that helps us to relate to someone else who's going through something similar. So, in the repair shop, the items are left with the experts. They have to leave them in the repair shop. And this amazing team of incredible craftsmen and women sometimes work alone, sometimes they collaborate, they work as a team, and they restore, they repair, and they rejuvenate the item in front of them. That's what our God does for us, isn't it? He restores, he repairs, he rejuvenates. One of the quotes that is used in one of the series is this: Brenton West, who is their resident silversmith and expert on all things fine and intricate, said, if someone's made it, then I can fix it. I think that's quite a bold boast, isn't it? And then I can imagine God saying, hold my beer. I made you humans. I can fix you. And that's what God does. God, who in the very beginning, his perfection was to create humans, the very pinnacle of his creation, he can also fix and repair and rejuvenate and restore. So what do this team do in the repair shop? This isn't an exhaustive list by any means, but it's just an idea of some of the things they do. The first thing they very often do is they give the item a jolly good clean so they know what they're working with. They carefully assess it. The term Japanese tissue paper crops up very often. Japanese tissue paper is an incredibly fine, incredibly thin, but incredibly strong tissue paper, which when it is glued to a surface becomes invisible but holds things together. They will sandblast metal to get rid of the rust and the decay. Often, Steve Fletcher with his clocks, he'll take all these dirty items and he'll let them soak in the watch cleaner's fluid. This magical bath of chemicals that remove the dirt and remove the grime. Often, if there's paper or leather involved, it will need to be rehydrated. In paintings, areas of loss, that's what they refer to, areas of where it's been torn or ripped or painted, they will help restore that. Invariably, if it can be, it will be polished, whatever the item is. It will be put back together. It will be painted and touched up where it needs it. Soft toys get restuffed. Now, if you ever feel like you've had the stuffing knocked out of you, part of God's repair shop is to get us restuffed. A bit like Jeff was talking about earlier. He felt wobbly. If he'd gone into the repair shop, they'd have said, what Jeff needs is a bit of restuffing. And they'd have shoved an iron rod up him to help him. The items get touched up. They've got incredible artists who see a colour and can mix the identical colour. And just so you don't see the damage. Broken pieces are reconstructed, and often they need to be gently taken apart first in order to get the edges clean, in order to make sure this repair looks right. Where there are distortions, they're reshaped. Rust is sometimes cut out of metal objects because it's the only way, and a new piece is fitted in. And if Steve Fletcher's working on a clock, you can invariably guarantee that at some point, one bit with a bit of wear, a bit of wobble, he'll put a new bush in there to make sure it turns really smoothly and accurately. You see, and in all of these, I'm not going to go through them, but in all of these, I can find an analogy for how God does the same for us. God fixes us up. God helps repair the scars. God helps put some stuffing back in. He allows us to soak in him, and in soaking in him, we get cleaned up. The God who made us knows what he's doing, and we can trust him to repair us. There's another bit too, that sometimes we look, Sue and I, if we watch this program, you look at a program and you think, for goodness sake, why don't you just skip that and get, but no, they delicately cut out bits of wood where there's rot and they fit a new piece in. This isn't about disposing of, it's about restoring. And it is never rushed. It's better to do it properly than to rush it. We too are washed clean and made right in the sight of God. That's what righteousness means. It's a big word, but it basically means we are made right in the sight of God. And it is all done as a result of what Jesus did on the cross. Robbie prayed it out earlier. The grace that we receive, God's riches at Christ's expense, the riches that we receive for grace is nothing to do with us. It's only because of what Jesus has done. And when we receive that forgiveness, when we receive that righteousness, when we're washed clean, it's as though we had never messed up in the first place. God doesn't look at us and go, ah, yeah, but I remember what you were like. He sees us as we are in his sight, right before him, without spot or blemish. We're strengthened. That rod that's gone through Jeff this morning or last week, it's like sometimes they need to put in some support for the items they're repairing. Sometimes you just don't see it, but they'll slide a little bit of support into a piece of porcelain or china. There might be a little bit of metalwork goes in to support a cuddly toy or something. The support is essential. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit as our strengthening, as our support. The thing that holds us together is not a thing at all. It's a he. He, the Holy Spirit, strengthens and supports us. A bit like that Japanese tissue paper. It's glued on, it's carefully matched up. You don't see it on the outside, but it holds everything together securely, strongly. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He holds us together. Sometimes, I've already mentioned, sometimes we need a long soak, don't we? We need to soak in the cleaning solution of God, to soak in his Holy Spirit, to not rush away, to recognize, you know, Psalm 46, verse 10, sort of, be still and know that I am God. We need to be still and soak in the presence of God. And if we need a bit of stuffing, God will do that too. Now, I'm aware that some of you might say, well, that's already very well for you to say, Martin, it's great and it makes a lovely talk, but you've not been through what I've been through. And that's very true, and God treats every one of us individually. But this is one of his promises. He promises this in the book of Joel. He says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. When all the locusts and the many kinds of locusts are listed there, have eaten the crops, have destroyed the... God says, I will restore it to you. We can be restored, not because of what we've done, but because God's promise to us. And as these experts in the repair shop, as they start on their work, you hear little phrases crop up. In fact, I thought about producing a repair shop bingo card. And every time you watch an episode, you can see how many of the phrases you can tick off. Have I got these listed? No, I haven't. So, oh, I like what I see. Oh, I'm really pleased with that. That's gone really well. Now, that's what it's meant to do. That's better. That's better. There we go. Or you heard it on that clip. Oh, you beauty. That's what God says when he's about the journey of restoring and repairing us. He says, oh, you beauty. God wants the very best for us. So where do we see echoes of this? Well, I want to take you into the Bible a bit, and we're going to read some Bible. First one was this. God looked over all he made, and he saw it was very good. So however you feel about yourself, God, who made man in his own image, male and female, he created them, he says, oh, you are very good. In the book of John, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And what do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. I think part of this rejuvenation, part of this restoration starts when we get born again, when we recognize we have to be born afresh in God. Jesus said in Matthew, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." There has to be a recognition that we need more than we are. We can't do it on our own. And when we make that recognition, when we accept that we need help, God comes alongside us and helps. Yeah, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. That's what happens when these items, which have such value, such sentimental value, such historical value, such value to the individuals, when they come into the repair shop, they are broken. But afterwards, they have a new life, a new beginning for them. How does this happen for us? Well, Romans 8:11 tells us, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you." We need the gift of the Holy Spirit. John says, "The Holy Spirit will come and help you, because the Father will send the Spirit to take my place. And the Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of what I said while I was with you. I give you peace. The kind of peace only I can give. It isn't like the peace this world can give. So don't be worried or afraid." And lastly, Revelation 21:5 says, "And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.'" God is making everything new, and that includes you and me. God freely gives us of his Holy Spirit that enables us to continue. If any of you have walked a tough road, you will know you can't do it in your own strength. Sometimes God will use us, one another, alongside, supporting, caring, giving words of encouragement, meals to help out. But often we need something else, don't we? That spiritual restuffing, that re-support. Only God can do that. So what's the result of all of this? They've brought their items in and they've done their piece to camera about how special it is. And then eventually they get called back to the barn, and there, under a cloth, is the item. But they can't see it yet. And the question will often be, what are you hoping to find? For some, the answer is very simple. Well, as long as it looks better than when I left it. For others, it will be, well, I'd like to see it working. For others, it will be, whatever you've done is enough. And I think that should be our heart cry, shouldn't it, to God. Whatever you can do, God, because I can't do anything. And what are the reactions? Well, "Ooh, I like what I'm seeing," said Amanda in the middle ditch. She said, the reaction from the people is like that. It's, "Oh, it's the same but better." Very often they say, "Can I touch it? Can I pick it up? Are you sure it's mine?" "Well, it means the world to me." Wow. The number of times the word "wow" is used. Or the tears will start to flow, or they just want to hug as an appreciation of what this team have done in restoring not just an item, but the memories, in restoring the all that goes with that. At the end of every episode, and please bear with me because the sound on this isn't great, but please bear with me. At the end of every program, they play this little outro. Oh.
If you have a treasured possession that's seen better days and you think the team can help, please get in touch at bbc.co.uk/techpower. And join us in the repair shop.
Do you have a treasured possession that has seen better days? At this point, Sue always says yes and points at me. And then they say, and you think the team can help. And she went, oh, no, don't worry then. But you see, it's okay for us to book ourselves into God's repair shop. In fact, I think it's a really good idea to do it. And it's also okay for us to bring our friends along, because often the treasure possession that needs care and love and needs God in them to help clean them or strengthen them or reshape them or repent, actually the treasure possession is our friends or our family. The treasure possession is someone we know and we really care about, because we would love them to know what it means to meet with Jesus. Come on. No, it's not going to play. You see, we are good news people in a bad news world. And there is no better news that we can help people with than letting them meet the Creator who put them together in the first place. Letting Him restore, repair, and resurrect them and you. Now, I've bought my anointing oil this morning, because I genuinely believe that this is a moment when, for those of you who would like God to come in and do His repair shop business, this morning might be the start of that for some of you. Not to rush away, not to do something in a hurry, but to just say, God, I want to come to your repair shop to be resurrected, to be restored, and to know that I'm who I should be. And that all these marks, all these things, whatever, they can continue, because that helps show the journey I've been on. And it might help encourage someone else to know that there is hope for the future. So, shall we enter the barn and see some of what God can do in His repair shop? Thank you.